Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we've got the phone lines open for you on this Open Lines Friday here with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. You can give us a ring, 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on our Montana Talks app. If you got something you want to share, you got something you want to talk about as well. Of course, today is the big day in our state capital in Helena. Today is the transmittal deadline. So whatever bills don't get through one of the chambers by today, most likely they are dead for another 2 years. So I'd imagine a number of our state lawmakers are tied up in the middle of floor sessions right now as we speak. It was interesting. Clayton Murphy with the UM Legislative News Service had a report here that on Wednesday alone, the House heard more than 100 bills and the Senate debated more than 60. And then Thursday's schedule included 92 bills in the House and then 69 in the Senate alone. So imagine it's a busy day in Helena today, but I hope they wrap it up at a decent hour because I am very much looking forward to seeing all of our friends in Glendive tonight. I've got the honor of serving as the keynote speaker for the Dawson County Lincoln Reagan Dinner, and they still have tickets available. I think you can get some at the door. I did double check yesterday, but yeah, I'm hoping that the legislature breaks in time so that we can see Speaker of the House Brandon Lear out of Savage in the House in Glendive tonight, and then our other good friends like Representative Jerry Schillinger out of Circle. I know he's going to try to make it over for that as well. If any lawmakers are listening right now, hey, and you got a bill that you want to talk about, you got a bill that you want to see survive the transmittal deadline, and you need some help from some of our listeners, well, give us a call right now, 406-294-0970. One of the big stories in the news here is deals with potential tariffs with Canada and Mexico. Now, if you haven't heard, there's big news. President Trump is now postponing the 25% tariffs on imports from Mexico and Canada for a month. He had an exclusive interview with Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business, where he says he decided to pause the tariffs to help Canada and Mexico. This after Justin Trudeau, in a tweet shared by Eric Doherty, was practically in tears yesterday trying to avoid the tariffs.
On a personal level, I've made sure that every single day in this office, I put Canadians first, that I have people's backs. And that's why I'm here to tell you all that we got you. Even in the very last days of this government, we will not let Canadians down. Today, and long into the future.
Yeah, well, for Pete's sake, you were the guy that were locking them in their rooms and not letting them visit their relatives and then sicking the police and the Mounties on pastors preaching in the streets. But man, he was about to cry.
Montana Talks, where you get the muck. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Donald Trump, boy, he... Sorry to ruin your Black Panther party. Our friend John Jackson, it's always funny when he uses that line, you know, from Forrest Gump. Sorry I ruined your Black Panther party. Look at the liberal media in Montana. Boy, they were just having a field day. Tariffs. Oh, no. Look at the fear campaign. Did they learn nothing during President Trump's first term? He goes all out. He fights, 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 and then he brokers a deal. I mean, look at all the sensationalistic news headlines that we've seen here in Montana. A brewer's figuring out what to do. Where's he going to get his aluminum cans from? Oh, no. Tariff war, tariff war, tariff war. And here we go. You had Justin Trudeau practically in tears yesterday in that video that Eric Doherty out of Florida shared. I mean, Eric Doherty said that Justin Trudeau was sobbing in that video there. I mean, basically, Donald Trump is trying to get not only our trade imbalance balanced once again, but he's also trying to secure not just our southern border, but our northern border, which has had a flood of drugs and illegal aliens cross our northern border as well. And so he had Justin Trudeau practically in tears there, and now it sounds like a deal has been brokered with Mexico and Canada. This, we saw this time and time again during President Trump's first term. It was like on a Monday, the entire media mob was freaking out about something, and then like 2 or 3 days later, it wasn't even an issue, and they moved on to something else. They moved on to their next fake news story. Here we go. By the way, speaking of Canada, did you guys see the video? Apparently, there's a lot of our Canadian friends in Alberta that really do. They want to be another state of the United States of America. I'll share that audio with you here in just a second, but let's go into the phone lines. We've got Nancy in Roundup kicking things off this morning. Nancy, great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good morning, Montana Talks family. I've got two talking points today, the tariffs. I just want to say that, you know, Canada has taken the United States for decades. One of my best friends lived in Canada for 20 years. They depend and rely on us for everything. Mexico, as far as I'm concerned, the Mexican government accepted billions of dollars from illegal aliens to cross their country in order to enter our country illegally. They really owe us billions of dollars. But the tariff threat is working because the president of Mexico has surrendered 29 Mexican drug cartel gang members. But 29 men is nothing in comparison to the thousands that are really running the country of Mexico right now. And I just want to remind everyone, don't panic. The Trump fiscal year does not begin until October 1st. We're still living in the Biden fiscal year. Now, the second talking point, I found this on the media, and it's CNN. And, you know, I don't follow CNN. None of us do. But CNN claims that an anonymous tipster told them that both Russia and China are recruiting any federal workers that Trump has laid off or fired. And it makes sense when you think about how they want to destroy the United States, especially China. But like I said, this is CNN. This is an anonymous tipster, no name attached. But think about it. Yeah, sure, they're going to try and recruit all the federal workers and laid off CIA and FBI agents if they, you know, to help them out, infiltrate into our country.
We already had the leakers even before this, right? We already had the people undermining our country. I mean, we've seen countless leaks, and you could also make the argument that under the 4 years of the Biden regime, we had people in these government agencies starting at the top with Joe Biden himself actively undermining the United States and funding our enemies, giving Iran access to billions of dollars in oil revenues. Same thing for the socialist dictator down in Venezuela that was emptying his prisons and sending the Tren de Aragua gang members up here to Montana even, right? And so now apparently some off-the-record CIA, you know, folks are telling CNN, well, if we get fired by Donald Trump, we're gonna leak secrets to the Chinese. Hell, some of these people have already been helping America's enemies. That's what we saw consistently for the 4 years of the Biden regime. Nancy, great to hear from you. Appreciate the phone call. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. If you got something you want to talk about, you want to jump in on the conversation here on this Open Lines Friday. Back to Canada here. Rachel Parker is a Canadian journalist, and she interviewed a lawyer, an Alberta lawyer named Jeffrey Rath. And based off of what he is saying, it sounds like a lot of our friends north of the border in Alberta, Canada, they really do. They want to be another state of the United States of America. Here you go. This is from Rachel Parker. She gave us credit to use her audio.
Well, there's a group of Albertans that are working together right now to put together a delegation to go to Washington to talk to the Trump administration about Alberta petitioning for U.S. statehood. It's quite evident that we've been governed by idiots in Ottawa who don't understand that we can't afford a trade war with our largest trading partner. And rather than simply apologizing to President Trump for not meeting our NATO commitments and not adequately securing our border, apparently the Trudeau government has decided to declare a trade war and run up trillions of dollars in costs like they did during COVID on a made-up emergency. So there's a number of us in Alberta that have had enough and want to go speak with the Trump administration about the benefits of Alberta joining the United States.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Jeffrey Rath is that attorney's name, and Rachel Parker shared that via X. Yeah, very interesting. Something Nancy said about these drug cartel leaders being extradited to the U.S. reminds me of a conversation with Stacy Zinn. I want to rack up a part of that coming up here soon. Stand by.
Montana.
From Mondekistan to the Flathead. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Something Nancy and Roundup just brought up reminded me earlier this week, and I think most of our listeners across the state haven't gotten a chance to hear this yet. I meant to do a little write-up for our Montana Talks website, and man, the week has just flown by. It's been a crazy busy week here, but I caught up with Stacy Zinn. She's the former head of the DEA here in Montana. You guys have heard her on the show before. She's remarkable. She spent a career in the DEA, and she'd probably still be going. She'd still be in the fight, but for some reason they have this mandatory retirement age. So even though she could run circles around probably most members of Congress and is still fit to fight, still fully engaged in the fight against the Mexican drug cartels and Tren de Aragua and everything like that, you hit that age, they make you retire. But yet you have these dinosaurs back in Washington, D.C. that can run the country into the ground. You know, it's just crazy when you think about it. But there was a big story about how finally, thanks to President Donald J. Trump getting tough with Mexico, that now these drug cartel kingpins were extradited back to the United States. So Stacy Zinn also ran in that Republican primary for Congress last go around as well. So I wanted to get her reaction to these drug cartel extraditions. Plus, she gave us some behind-the-scenes insight, a really incredible story that I don't think has been reported anywhere else, not even by some of the national news outlets. Trump effect. Mexico abruptly extradites 28 cartel bosses to the United States, including the killer of a DEA agent. This is a big story. How big is this, and how important is it that we highlight what President Trump did here?
Well, this is extremely big, and what took place was when he signed Executive Order 14157 entitled Designating Cartels and Other Organizations as Foreign Terrorist Organizations, that spotlighted the individuals down in the cartels down in Mexico. What does that enable us as law enforcement or law enforcement now is that they can actually charge these individuals as terrorists. Now, we had a list of over 29 individuals that we wanted extradited to the United States, the biggest and the baddest of the cartels. And we have people like Rafael Caro Quintero. We had Vicente Cuero Fuentes. They've been sitting in Mexico, and Mexico would not extradite these individuals because of politics. These are the individuals that had, one of them had killed our DEA agent, Kiki Camarena, back in 1985. We had Vicente Cuero Fuentes, who actually headed the La Línea, or the Cuero Fuentes organization, Ciudad Juarez. He's the one that actually, his team had a threat against me when I was on the border. We had an individual named Martin Sontero, who was actually, he actually killed a sheriff in North Carolina. So Trump highlighted this, and it's what's interesting is that the Mexican president honored Trump's request. Now, is she doing this because of the upcoming tariffs that are going to be enforced on them? Probably so. But they actually extradited individuals from all the different cartels, like Beltran Leyva, Sinaloa, CJNG. CJNG was a cartel that was actually here on Montana reservations. We had gutted that in 2023. They extradited the brother of the head of that organization, El Mincho. So it's very interesting how they cherry-picked, but they went across all the different cartels in Mexico, so it's not, they didn't extradite just everyone from Sinaloa or everyone from La Familia. They went across the board, and probably did it to also protect her, where she was like, didn't highlight or target one specific cartel.
All right, now, one of the things she mentioned there was their DEA agent, Kiki Camarena, who was not only murdered, but was viciously tortured by the drug cartels back in the 80s. And a lot of people, I don't even think, understand the significance of that moment back then and what it truly means. So anyway, I want to play a little bit more audio of what Stacey Zinn had to say about his killer now being extradited to the United States. And there's an incredible backstory regarding the handcuffs that were placed on his killer as well. So we'll get to that here in just a second. But first, let's go back into your phone calls here, 406-294-0970. We've got Rob in Helena listening to KCAP. Rob, what's on your mind this morning? Thanks for the call.
Morning, Aaron. How are you today?
Hey, good. Yeah, good morning.
Just looking at the whole Trump picture, I think a lot of people are not really seeing the big picture here, insofar that Trump is busy destroying the Davos One World Order, which cannot function without commitment from America. If America doesn't play to the Davos rule book, the One World grip on the world economy doesn't exist. And the Europeans, largely led by the Germans, believe that they are in control of the whole world's economy. And they are pushing the socialist agenda that Trump is totally rejecting. And that is why we're seeing the absolute meltdown of the Europeans, because they realize their grand plan of social engineering is coming to an end.
You know what? This is fascinating insight that you're giving here right now, because off air, these have been some conversations that I've been having with some friends. The irony of this whole situation with Ukraine and Russia and the Europeans is, you know, back in the Reagan 1980s, you know, we're talking about Kiki Camarena, 1985. Back in the Reagan 1980s, there was a clear divide between East and West, where the West stood for freedom. The West stood up for faith and freedom. And by the West, we meant the United States of America and our European allies. Look at how muddy those lines are now. I mean, look at all the freedoms that were stripped away from Americans and Canadians and Europeans in the name of COVID-19. And look at, you have Christians being thrown in jail for peaceful pro-life protests. And yet, for whatever reason, you know, the communists used to be the one to shut down churches, but yet they were allowing churches there. And yet in Europe, there is this anti-Christian warpath that some of these governments have been a part of here. And so the whole idea that, like, that it's East versus West, it's like, no, we have got to, you know, we have got to save Europe. President Trump's in the middle of bringing America back right now.
Aaron, I think the war in Ukraine is just a symptom of what the Europeans are trying to do. I hold the view that the Europeans want this war to ramble on. And the Germans in particular are funding Russia on the one hand, but then screeching that America won't defend them, which they don't want to pay for. They think we're going to pay for that. But essentially, they're trying to protect this world socialist order where all minions will be compliant, otherwise you will be dealt with. And to a degree, we saw that beginning to happen in America. Now, as you can hear, I'm a South African.
Okay, I was going to say, I was going to ask you, I didn't want to be rude, but I was going to ask you what your accent was, yeah.
I'm a South African, and I've seen what rampant socialism does to a country. totally destroys it. Because as per the George Orwell story, some people in those structures are more equal than others, and all they do is they plunder the system. And everybody just suffers underneath them. And we just, in our family, decided that we wanted nothing to do with that, and we left the country to come here, and it became quite sad to us to see the same thing beginning to develop in America under Joe Biden.
I've heard that
and
from...
Well, thankfully, we're citizens and proud citizens of the country now.
I've heard that from so many of your fellow... I've heard that from so many of your fellow legal immigrants. I've met so many great legal immigrants all across this country who came to America, and they expressed the same concern you did, that they're seeing take place in America what they fled from elsewhere in communist countries or socialist countries. I mean, why do you think Hispanic Florida turned out so big for President Trump? Because the same thing. They fled those. They fled the socialism, they fled the violence, and they didn't want to see it follow them here to America. Your point, Rob and Helena, when our producer, you know, he shared one line. You know, he'll ask people, hey, what's your name? Where are you calling from? And then he'll send me one line about what the caller wants to talk about. And for you, the one line was Trump and tariffs. Trump is breaking down the one world order. John Jackson, who joined us Tuesday on this show, I spotted this tweet. App Patriot Girl shared this. There was a post by Jesse Morgan. Ukraine's former top military commander, Zaluzhny, claims that the United States is, quote, destroying the world's established order. And App Patriot Girl said, yeah, that's kind of the point. Because that's the sad reality is that we have lost Europe. We have lost Europe, and we're taking back America. But, anyway, your thoughts.
Europe can't operate without America. It's pretending that it can, but in reality it can't. And the Germans, the economy in Europe is, the whole European EU concept is beginning to fail in every way. Britain saw it and got out of it. Other countries now want to pull out of it. And because of the nationalist differences between the members, they fight with each other. The French don't see things the same way the Germans do. The Germans don't see things the same way as the Spanish do. And the result of it all, can you imagine our country if every governor just said, we don't agree with that, we're never going to do it? And you're kind of seeing a bit of that already.
Yeah. What you've got right now is you've got the blue state Democrat attorneys general trying to keep the criminal illegal aliens here, trying to keep the crime going. And then you've got red state attorneys general like our own Attorney General Austin Knutson standing up for America and supporting efforts to secure this country right now. So, yeah, we do see a little bit of that divide. It's kind of a tale of two cities right now, isn't it? And we saw that on steroids during COVID-19. Rob, great to hear from you, man. That was a great insight. Actually, Rob, stick with us if you can during the break here. I want to chat with you a little bit off air. I want to get your take on Elon Musk and the ladies. Well, ladies. However they identify people on The View bashing and lying about Elon Musk, who's from South Africa, too.
This is where Montana Talks App with Lane Nordlund.
President Donald Trump has reversed course and postponed 25% tariffs on Mexican goods amid widespread concerns about the impact a broader trade war will have on the U.S. economy. The Associated Press says the announcement was made shortly after Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick had said tariffs on both Canada and Mexico would likely be delayed. Despite the secretary's announcement, no change was reported on the status of tariffs on Canadian imports. Trump first announced the tariffs in February, and this is the second time the president has postponed the import duties. Trump posted on Truth Media that, quote, after speaking with President Claudia Sheinbaum of Mexico, I've agreed that Mexico will not have to pay tariffs on anything that falls under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. He continued, saying, I did this as an accommodation out of respect for the president, as our relationship has been very good, and we're working hard together on border security. In other news, an independent commission says thousands of USDA employees terminated by the Trump administration will return to their positions for now. The commission said the firing broke the laws that protect career employees from political influence. It's reported the Merit Systems Protection Board found reasonable grounds to believe that USDA violated civil service laws when it fired over 5,000 probationary employees. The board also ordered USDA to reinstate the temporary employees fired since February 13th because of performance while the Office of Special Counsel investigates the firings. I'm Lane Northlund.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I had a great extended chat there with Rob and Helena during the break, and I was just like, okay, you're from South Africa. Elon Musk is from South Africa. Did you? And then he's like, oh, yeah. And then, you know, The View, they attack him. They lied about him. And then Rob and Helena was like, oh, yeah. And then it was like his producer or her producer, Joy Behar's producer, must have gotten in her ear to say, you better walk that statement back, or you might get us sued again. And then Rob made a great point about how, yeah, they despise Elon Musk for what he's trying to do and essentially to restore economic freedoms. And the free markets and what America is supposed to be all about, which flies in the face of what these globalists want, of course. But for those of you who missed it, yeah, this was about a week or so ago now, I think, probably exactly a week ago. It was probably last Wednesday or Thursday. Sean Hannity featured it on his show. This was the ladies, the women, however they want to identify, the far left wackos on The View lying about Elon Musk and then having to correct themselves while they were in the middle of their on-air commentary, because I think their lawyers were like, you can't lie about somebody like that on national TV.
The guy who's not born in this country, who was born under apartheid in South Africa, so has that mentality going on. He was pro-apartheid, as I understand it. This is just perfectly wonderful for Trump. He's can take a nap and let this foreign agent, an enemy of the United States, do his job. Now I'm getting some flack because I said that Musk was pro-apartheid. I don't really know for sure if he was. He grew up at that time when apartheid was in full bloom before the great Nelson Mandela fixed that. And he was around at that time, but maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. He might have been a young guy, too.
Might have been.
So don't be suing me, okay, Elon?
Don't be suing me. She knew she was lying. It is well documented that Elon Musk was very much against apartheid. But see, that's the thing. The Russia media has just gotten used to basically being able to say whatever they want, do whatever they want, lie about whoever they want to, and get away with it. But apparently now their legal team is saying, you might want to correct that statement that you just made over the airwaves. Which reminds me, who has been front and center in the Russia collusion hoax? Perkins Coie. Some pronounce it Perkins Coie. I like Coie because they were the law firm, the leftist law firm that was pushing the Russia collusion hoax. It was pushing the Steele dossier. They were the ones who created that whole lie. They're a prominent left-wing law firm. In fact, almost every time there has been a challenge to our election laws here in Montana, the Montana Democrat Party flies in lawyers from Perkins Coie into Helena. They pay them like $500 for every half an hour they're there to undermine our election integrity laws here in Montana. Well, President Trump just signed an executive order revoking their security clearances for anybody that worked at the Perkins Coie law firm. I don't know about you guys, but why did these left-wing activist lawyers have security clearances in the first place?
Sir, your administration has made it a priority both to end lawfare and the weaponization of government and also to hold those who have engaged in lawfare accountable. One of the law firms that has been involved in that is called Perkins Coie. That's also a law firm that has engaged in unlawful DEI practices. This executive order will suspend
security. And I've watched it take place.
This executive order will suspend security clearances and access to certain federal resources for that law firm and also launch a holistic review of unlawful DEI practices at some of the nation's largest law firms.
This is an absolute honor to sign. what they've done is it's just terrible. It's a weaponization. You could say weaponization against a political opponent, and it should never be allowed to happen again.
Now, here's my question. That was the audio sent out on X by the Trump War Room. Here's my question, though. It's known, it's documented, they lied. They were a part, a key figure in the Russia collusion hoax and the manufacturing of the phony Steele dossier to interfere in our presidential elections, to undermine the president of the United States, stripping away their security clearances. Why are they even still allowed to be in business? Some of them should be behind bars for what they did to this country. And they've still even had security clearances? I mean, this is just crazy when you think about it. Back to my conversation with Stacy Zinn, who is the head of the DEA here in Montana. You know, we were talking about how, you know, part of this whole tariff fight, you know, President Trump, he's a good negotiator. And for those of you who haven't heard, despite the fear campaign, the constant fear campaign from the left-wing media here in Montana, there's already been a deal brokered with Mexico and Canada to avert the tariffs, as I mentioned earlier in the show. But anyway, Stacy Zinn, the former head of the DEA here in Montana, she was saying, well, look, we just got 28, you know, drug cartel operatives extradited to the United States. And she basically speculated that, you know, President Trump's efforts to go tough using tariffs on Mexico was a key way to make that happen. How significant was it and is it that President Trump got the killer of DEA agent Kiki Camarena extradited back to the United States? Here's what Stacy had to say.
You know, now it's like, okay, we had 60 degrees and sunny. Now it's going to snow again for some of you here.
Wait
in Montana.
Okay, I thought I queued it up in the right spot here. Shoot. Okay, I thought that was the audio clip that I rolled up. You know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to pull it up in my AI software where I can actually play the audio right from the transcript instead. So stand by. I'll rack that up for you because I know you're going to want to hear that. All right. Phone lines are open for you. 406-294-0970. Let's go to Angie in Anaconda. Angie, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hey there. I just moved here from Maryland. And by the way, my mom's from Havre. My dad was a good basketball star, so I'm not here because of Yellowstone.
Okay. I was going to say, because you said Maryland, and I'm sure there was a collective groan across Montana.
Exactly. But while I was in Maryland, I was a track coach for 10 years, high school track coach.
Oh, wow.
And I also have a master's in exercise physiology. And I made a post on Twitter the other day. I do not dabble in politics. I do not like confrontation, nothing. But it had to be said. So I made a long post on Twitter just highlighting the differences between male and female athletes at the high school level, using my own track kids as examples. I mean, I didn't give their names, but just, you know, like the difference between, I'm a sprint jumps coach, so the difference between my girls triple jumper and my boy triple jumper is 10 feet, right? So I was a little nervous about posting all of this, but in the end, I got very little pushback on anything that I said, and most of the comments, I got a few that called me a bigot, but most of the comments were, you're very brave, we appreciate the insight, and I think some people just need the information. I wasn't accusatory. I just put up data. And I don't think people really realize how important it is to save spaces for these girls, because the girls are the ones that are being totally trampled on by all of this. And, you know, we're marginalizing one population to to make space for a different population. And I don't know what the answer is, but it's not this.
Yeah, isn't it crazy how, like, and why this is even still a fight at the Capitol in Helena in the Montana legislature? Like, That it's very clear. This is an 80-20 issue. The American people believe that there shouldn't be men in girls' locker rooms. There shouldn't be men taking away girls' sports opportunities. Yet it's still a fight with the Democrats in Helena. It's unbelievable. But the idea that they're more concerned with the feelings of men wanting to be in the girls' locker room, and they don't even care about the young women that don't want to see a man get fully undressed right in front of them. Right. It's like, why don't
they? And, you know, like, girls quit sports at alarming rates when they get to high school. And it could be over, like, the most minor thing. And, you know, when you put them in a competition against somebody that they cannot possibly beat, you know, that frustrates them, it discourages them, and it causes them to leave sports.
Yeah, and girls' sports are so popular in Montana. I mean, that was why there was a whole documentary called Class C, because that's how much people love their sports, and especially girls' sports, opportunities, etc. Angie, if you got more to share, hold that thought. I got to take a quick break here on Montana Talks. Plus, we've got more callers on the phone lines right now as well. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. Stand by. We'll be back right after this shortest break of the hour.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, very cool phone call there from Anaconda, from Angie and Anaconda during the break. By the way, I asked her during the break, I said, hey, who was your dad that played for the Grizz back in the day? And she said, John Holiday, back in the late 60s. Doc Holiday, they called him. And so that was very cool. But her phone call reminded me also of back in December, my conversation with Aaron Graff, who was a track star for Montana State University, Aaron Jones Graff. One of her records was broken recently by, you know, an MSU Bobcat, a track athlete. And Aaron talked about how glad she was that her record was broken. But not only that, but how glad she was that her record was broken by a young lady and not by some man pretending to be a woman. So that because of what the significance of that for women's sports and girls' sports and the opportunities it brings. And so if you missed that story, you can still find that on our Montana Talks website. Tracy and Billings, stand by. We'll get to you in just a second here. But first, I want to share, this is Stacy Zinn talking about the significance of President Trump getting Kiki Camarena's murderer extradited back to the United States. Here it is.
He was supposed to serve up to 40 years. Now, for those that don't know about Cava Clunfetto, he was the head of the Guadalajara cartel back in the day under the Federation. If you see the narco show, you can see it all laid out. But he had a special marijuana plant that he was crossbreeding, and it was the first of its kind. It was making the THC more potent. So when Kiki had found out about it, he rented a plane, got a pilot, they flew over, and they said, saw plantations of marijuana. He organized a mission where they destroyed all those plants. Well, Caro retaliated, and this is the first time that we realized how corrupt the Mexico government was, because he teamed up. They had law enforcement kidnap Kiki when he was supposed to meet his wife at lunch. They took him to a stash location, and they tortured him up to 3 days. The only reason we know this is because they recorded the tortures, and we have tapes of the 2 days. We don't have tapes of the third day. Then they buried his body. It took a month to get his body back. And Reagan, I mean, God bless America, Reagan coordinated with customs, that's what they were called back in the day. He said, shut the border down. Well, when we shut the border down, I can't say this word. All blank took place, and, you know,
all Adam Schiff took place.
All that stuff. And then that's what woke up the Mexican government, goes, what can we do? And we said, we want Kiki's body back. And we got it back in March and gave him the burial that he so deserved.
All right. And then the one other thing here, real quick, before I get to Tracy and Billings, So when his murderer, when Kiki Camarena's murderer is extradited back to the United States, placed in handcuffs, this is a story that I don't think has been reported even by the national media. Check out the significance behind the handcuffs that were placed on Kiki Camarena's murderer.
So Kiki had a son. He had three sons. One of them is a judge out of San Diego, and he had Kiki's original handcuffs that Kiki carried when he was in Mexico. When we found out that Cotto was going to be extradited to New York, then we were able to go and coordinate with the family. The family is still close with DEA. We were able to get the original handcuffs of Kiki, transfer them to New York, and when Cotto went before the judge, he was handcuffed in Kiki's original handcuffs.
Wow. Yeah, so anyway, full audio, of course, on the Montana Talks app if you want to hear more of that. That's just part of the conversation. Great backstory there. Never forget. Tracy in Billings, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I'm giving you a call because I just heard from a loved one of mine who was recently sent out of state through our Montana prison system. He is in the last group of about 640 people who were sent out of state to for-profit prisons in Arizona and Mississippi since August of last year. And the condition that they're facing there in these out-of-state prisons is very bad. They're reaching out, asking for people to speak up for them. A lot of these men are in prison for minor infractions, such as hitting a parked car while intoxicated. They've been taken away from their loved ones, their family, their kids. They no longer get visitors because they're so far away. When they've shown up off-site, they have property missing that properly hasn't been delivered to them. They have leaking cells, puddles in their cells, guards yelling at them. They're not being out loud outside very frequently. A few men who just got there last week spoke up about their property missing, and as of this morning, the whole unit has been put on lockdown for 2 months in retaliation by the guards. I guess this is all new to me, and these people are still humans. They're still loved by their families, and they're being treated like animals, and no one's listening.
Well, thanks for calling in, because I know we got a lot of people, in state government that listen in on the show, and folks that can hopefully go look, make sure that you're right. Basic human rights are taken care of. To me, this is, Tracy, all the more reason why we need more prison space, we need more jail space back here in Montana, because obviously you do the crime, you got to do the time, but this is why we need to expand the prison space back here in Montana. We've let that issue languish for far too many years. We had too much of a focus on treatment versus incarceration. That didn't work. And so, unfortunately now you got to house people somewhere. This to me is why we need to build more prison capacity and jail capacity here in Montana to deal with this increase. But I appreciate your phone call. Thanks for calling in. Tickets may still be available. I hope to see you in Glendive for the Dawson County Lincoln Reagan dinner tonight.